Well, that ought to be the prayer of every believer, that the Spirit of God would breathe upon us and our will would become, or His will would become our will, and He would subdue our thoughts and our feelings and put us into His perfect will. And may God help us to have that desire in our heart, to have that active in our Christian walk, Christian life with the Lord. If you would tonight, turn to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read a few verses here and take one particular passage that is here before us and look at it tonight just as a subject or as a study. And then we'll be reading a verse in the book of Psalms 119. 1 John chapter 5 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there is three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." There are multiple topics that we could choose tonight in these verses. We have the Trinity set before us. There are three that bear record: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Scripture tells us here that the Spirit that bears witness with us bears truth, because He is the Spirit of truth. And you could make a lot of different applications to that. We find in verse number 4, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." And then he asks the question, who is it that overcomes the world except that one that is a believer? So you and I tonight, sometimes we feel like the world overcomes us. We feel like we are bombarded with wickedness around us everywhere, by sight, by being around it, hearing it, and all those things that we see. It seems as though the world's getting the upper hand, but we have overcome the world because we have believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about the record. And so these are all things that we could deal with tonight. He says the people that are not believers, they have made God out a liar, because He gave us a record in His Son. And if they don't believe that, then they have not life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's very, very simple. In order to have eternal life, you must have the Son of God living in the heart and living in the soul. And then he tells us here, in verse 13, "These things have I written that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe." And so there are so many things in these verses. But I think sort of obscurely is given to us in verse number 3. And I want to look at this phrase in verse number 3, because it's talking about the commandments, or literally the Word of God. And the Bible says here, "For this is the love of God, that ye keep His commandments." And it's the last statement here. "And His commandments are not grievous." His commandments are not grievous. I looked up the word grievous, and there's a lot of a long list of synonyms to that word. I wrote down just a few of them. The word grievous, the synonym is bitter, brutal, cruel, harsh, inhuman, oppressive. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Turn back, if you would, to Psalm number 119, and we'll read a verse here. And so in 1 John, it tells us that the words that we have, or the commandments that God has given to us, ought not to bother us, ought not to be a problem to the child of God. And then in Psalm 119, verse number 165, I have it underlined in my Bible. I have the verse circled, so it will call to my attention as I flip through the scriptures at different times. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And so New Testament tells us the Word of God is not grievous. It's not bitter toward us. It's certainly not oppressive to us. And in Psalms, David tells us that we have peace as we love the law, or the Word, the commandments of God, and nothing shall offend us. There should be nothing in this Bible that is offensive to us. There should be nothing in this scripture that we would say, "I don't agree with that." There's times that our actions show that we don't agree with it. Sometimes our words show that we don't agree with it, but certainly we would not stand up and say, "I disagree with the Word of God," or "I don't think it's true," or "I don't think it's relevant for me." So the scripture says that these words that are given to us are words that are helpful, not harmful. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not oppressive to the child of God. The world in which we live makes claim that the Bible is too demanding. I can't live up to the standards of God's Word. I've heard people say that, lost people say, "Well, I can't be a Christian because I can't live the Christian life." Well, guess what? None of us live the Christian life like we should. And that's a wall the devil puts up in front of people to keep them from believing the Word of the Lord, because every word that God gives to us is words that will help us. But many times people say, and the world in general says, the Scripture just has too much demands upon us in our modern time. There's even a lot of Christians that seem to think that the Bible is too demanding on them, and so therefore they're not very faithful to the Lord, and they live their life pretty much the way they want to. They don't think too much about God until a problem comes along, until a difficulty of life comes, and then they begin to think about the Lord. All of a sudden they want you to pray for them and pray the Lord's help. And that's well and good for us to do, and we should do that. But so many times folks live in sort of like a bubble that God doesn't matter unless I need Him. God is He's my emergency 911 number, and when I need Him, I'll call upon Him. And if I don't need Him, I'm not going to bother Him, and He's not going to bother me. And folks that feel that way, the Word of the Lord is grievous to them. But it should not be. Sometimes people get upset when you preach certain things in the Scripture that cut across their lifestyle or across the way that they feel. And and if you want to disturb people in your family or out on the street corner, just talk about the Lord. If you want your family members to not be too cordial with you at times, just talk about how God is, and talk about what's right, and talk about what's wrong. And be willing to say, the Scripture tells us that's wrong. We ought not to do that. And all of a sudden, a barrier goes up, and People say, well, who are you to tell me how to live? Well, it's not us telling them how to live. It's the Word of God. And we're just the messenger. We're just the one that delivers the commandments or the Word of God to them. And to them, it is a very grievous word. They don't want to hear that. And they don't want to live that way. And so when we use our Bible, you can offend somebody by walking down the street just carrying a Bible. I mean, all you have to do is carry a copy of the Word of God where they can see it. I'm not talking about the concealed kind in your coat pocket or in your back pocket or in your purse. But if you carry the Bible out in the open, some people will be very offended at that. And some of them will let you know that they don't think you ought to do that. I've had people tell me that I shouldn't take the Bible into the hospital. Why not? That's our word. That's our message. That's our deliverance for people. And so to some folks, to many people, and I believe even to some Christians, the Word of God is grievous to them. They grieve at what it says. They feel like they are oppressed, or they feel like that they are not permitted to live like everybody else and do the things they desire to do. And if we follow the Scripture, we won't live like everybody else. But I don't feel oppressed in that. I feel blessed. We won't be able to do everything that the world does, because what the world does, the Scripture says for you and I not to do. And His words are not oppressive. His words are not grievous to the child of God that wants to serve Him and wants to follow the commands that the Lord gives to us. And so here in 1 John chapter 5, His word is not grievous. And there in the book of Psalms, that message that God gives to us, we certainly need to deliver that, even in the midst of ridicule. I believe the Apostle Paul had a lot of ridicule. I believe he underwent a lot of persecution simply because of the Word of God. He tells us that. Every disciple of the Lord died a martyr's death. And every one of them were murdered at the hand of the governments and different peoples. We have history accounts of each one of the apostles, how they died, where they died. And to those that were against them, the words that they preached, the words that they wrote down were grievous to those individuals. But to the believer, to the child of God, to be a Christian, we ought to desire His Word. We ought to long for His Word. We ought to really hunger for the Word of God, hunger and thirst after the righteousness that is given to us from the Word of the Lord. So I want us to look tonight, just for a few minutes, and we'll look at some four or five things about His words are not grievous, what they will not do to us. Number one, the Word of God will not destroy us. Now, there's a lot of people who feel like if you open the Bible, you're just destroyed as far as the world is concerned. They feel like that everything is lost, and they seem to think that Scriptures are of a destructive nature. If you read that, then you're going to have a warped thought. If you read that, it's going to destroy and has a destructive nature. But His words are not that. In His words, we have life. We are saved by grace through faith, and we hear that, and we are saved by hearing the Word of the Lord. Those people that are lost without God, they have no understanding, have no idea how precious these words are that we carry. These words that we call our Bible, these words that we call the Scriptures, the commandments, the law, the precepts, the principles, all the words that are given, and there's many descriptive terms in that Psalm 119 that we read that one verse. If you'll read that whole chapter, you'll find many descriptive terms and the statutes. All of them talk about the Word of God. I think I remember correctly that maybe other than just one or two verses in that longest chapter of the Bible, every verse has something to say about the Word of God. It won't call it the Word. It'll call it the commandment, or call it the statutes. Call it the precepts or the principles. But it's all relating to this Bible or to the Word that God has spoken. And so some people think when we read the Scripture and we live by the Scripture, it's just of a destructive nature to us, and we're just missing the best of this world. I'll tell you what, I got the best of this world and the world to come because of these words and the message that God has given to us. The humanist philosophy will tell you that the Word of God will ruin your life. All you got to do is go to a certain kind of doctors, and they'll tell you that you're too closely following, you're too involved in, and too much acquainted with the Bible. So they'll tell you it'll ruin your life. They'll also tell you that it'll ruin your home. I'll tell you what, this book here will keep your home right and keep things right in your heart and around the home life. Ruin your family, ruin your children. It's an amazing thing to me that so many people tell you how to raise your children. They don't have any children either. They have no idea what it's like to raise a child. But they've got the letters behind their name, and they've got the years in college, and they've got the philosophy that humanists have given them, and they have all the answers. No, this book here has all the answers. This Bible, these words are not grievous to us, and they certainly will not destroy us. They will not tear down righteousness and will not tear down right way of living. The most constructive words you'll ever read are right here before you. The most inspiring words. There's a lot of good books in this world, but there's nothing like the good book. There's a lot of things been written about the Bible, and that's well and good. I've got a whole library full. I've got shelf after shelf stacked with books about this book. But there's none of them that inspire me or none of them that would help me as much as this book that I have here tonight reading it. His words are not grievous. They are not oppressive. They are not grim. They're not harsh. Now, there are some harsh things in God's Word, but it's only harsh to those that believe not. It's only harsh to those that obey not. It's harsh to those that do not follow His Word. So the world says it's too demanding, and we just say God demands out of us His will and that we can follow that. And so His words or His commandments, His scriptures, they will not destroy an individual. It'll build someone up. Only reason we are living tonight the way we're living is because of these words, because of this book. If it was not for that, how in the world would we survive? If it was not for His Word, where would we be tonight? Physically, spiritually, if it was not for His words, we certainly would not be in the house of God. And if it was not for His Word, we would not be a child of God. And so His words will not destroy you. Number two, His words will not degrade you. The word degrade, it means to harm or to look down upon in a lower state. And His words do not do that. The talk shows and society often suggest that Bible believers are just degraded. They're not. What they really mean is we're not all here. That's what they really think. They will tell you that we are backwoodsy people, that we are archaic in our thoughts. We're not progressive in our thinking. I don't want anything progressive in my life. All the progressive that I know is wrong and going the wrong direction. But they'll say, you're not progressive. You don't think right. You don't think out of the box. We try to think in the Scripture. And his words here do not talk down to us. His words talk to us and bring us up, and does the best. He does his best to help us in our life, and so his words won't destroy us, and he certainly will never degrade us. Have you ever been? What's another word for degrade? Have you ever been slandered by someone, or someone talking down to you? Well, if there's anything I despise, somebody talking down to me, because I'm just like everybody else. Don't talk, just talk to me. Don't talk down. Like you know much more, and even though they do so many times. But the Word of God is not that way. He directs His Word to our heart that encourages us and helps us. How many times have we read the Bible And when we got through reading, we felt better in our heart and our life. How many times has it been that God would use His Word, even sometimes, to give us an answer to our prayer? Now, I'm glad I can talk to God. He doesn't talk to me audibly, but He talks to me through His Word. He talks to me with circumstances. He talks to me with impressions in my heart. And so His words, His commandments do not harm us. His commandments do not degrade us, do not downplay who we are. We are so important to the Lord that He died for us. And this world is just as important as we were to Him before we were saved. And so God desires that all would come to repentance and all would come to faith. I believe that with all my heart, that God desires everyone to be saved. I had a preacher tell me one time, said, well, if God wanted everybody to be saved, everybody would be saved. And that's not true. God's heart and God's desire and God's want to is that everybody hear the message, and He wishes and He wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not little robots, and He don't pick out this one, this one, this one, and you go to heaven, this one, this one, this one. God doesn't operate that way. God gives us an opportunity to hear, and He opens our thought processes. He begins a work in our life. And the Bible says, he that began a good work will finish it. And what He begins in an individual, I believe He'll finish it to bring about their salvation in their life if they'll permit the Lord to do that. And so we find that the Word of God is that which will help us. It'll certainly not harm us. It'll not destroy us. It'll not talk down to us. He'll not degrade us. He'll not belittle us, and His Word will not, if we're right with the Lord, His words and His commandments will not disturb us. It's not disturbing to read the Word of the Lord. Now, there's some things in there that I don't understand. Sometimes those things disturb me that I can't get to the bottom of it, no matter how much I look at it and study it and run reference. I just can't get a clear thinking in my heart that I'm right on it. There's a lot of things in the Scripture that we hopefully we're right on, but we don't have clear-cut distinction. But there are many, many things very clear that what God is saying. And so His words and His commandments won't disturb us. The book disturbs the world. Jesus disturbs the world. Now, God doesn't disturb the world too much, but Jesus does. Because when you talk about God, the world says, well, whatever God I want is the God is okay for me. Well, when you start talking about Jesus Christ, there's not but one. And He said, I am the Father of one. And the Scripture says here, where we read tonight, that there's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That one verse there is all the verse we need to believe that we are Trinitarian. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so we find here that the Word of God disturbs the lost. Well, one time it disturbed my heart. And when you had conviction in your heart, it disturbed you. But when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought not disturb us anymore other than getting our hearts in tune with Him. We who have have been born again, the Bible says that we delight in the law of God and after the inward man, Romans chapter 7. And so we that are saved, we delight in this word. We may not understand it all and do not, but we can delight in God's word. And it does not disturb us to read certain things in the Scripture. It doesn't disturb us to read the accounts of what took place, knowing that it's accurately given to us under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, even though some of the things in the Bible that are given to us, sometimes those things are disturbing how people lived and what they did. But God gives us His Word to reveal that God is a God of truth. He doesn't cover it. He doesn't whitewash it. He this is the way it is. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Lord, God killed them. Now, that is some people say, well, that's very harsh. Well, God killed them because they lied, and he gave them opportunity, and they lied to the disciples, they lied to the Lord, and so those things, maybe we don't understand all the details and the ins and outs and the whys, but his word is true, and we just accept it by faith, and we believe that because that we know that this is the scripture. And then lastly, I don't believe the word of God will depress us. Now, we live in a world that's full of depression. We live in a world that people are depressed over everything. It's a psychological problem many times. Many times it's a spiritual problem. But depression comes upon us. But it's not because of his word. It's because of our actions or inaction. The world pictures the Christians as under a heavy load. Oh, thank God my burden was lifted at Calvary. We sing about Calvary tonight. And there's where our load, there's where our burden is lifted. And he gives us a new life. He carries our burdens now. And the word has never depressed us as a child of God that follows and desires to do to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. And so his word will reveal to us truth. And many times when we reject that, then that's when the depression comes in. That's when the problems come in. That's when the difficulties come in. When we do not confess those things unto the Lord. We are not bound, we are free. And the word that we have has made us free indeed. And so we have the scriptures that tell us we have freedom. And serving the Lord is not depressive. Serving the Lord is wonderful. There's many depressing things in the work of God, many things that would burden us down, but not his word. His word will lift us up. His word will establish us, and his words will take care of our heart. And so tonight, when somebody comes along and they tell you that, oh, you just believe the Bible too much. I've had people tell me that. Oh, you live too close to what the Bible says. Those are the ways we ought to live, because his words are not grievous. His words are not harsh and harmful to you and I. It will not destroy us. It will not degrade us. He'll give us liberty. He'll not disturb us with his word other than when we do not follow his will. And certainly he will not depress us with his word. His word doesn't depress. His word brings us out of depression. A lot of folks tonight are suffering depression for a lot of reasons, a lot of things. And I'd be the first to admit that depression is real. It comes upon all of us. There's times that we things don't work the way we want them to work. Sometimes life is not what we thought it would be. Sometimes health fails and falters, and it's depressing to think I can't do, or I can't do the things I want to do. Depression comes, and it's real. I don't know if one of us, if we'd be honest tonight, I doubt there's a one of us in here tonight that would say, I've never been depressed, because we have been depressed. And problems come to us very very strong at times. But his word doesn't make us depressed. His word helps us in our depression, helps us in our life, because his words are not grievous. And we will not be, we're not going to be destroyed because of his word. Let's go back and read our scripture in Psalms 119. And with this will close. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy, and you can put the word there, love thy law, his word. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that includes his word. It's not offensive to you and I. It's not depressive. It's not disturbing. We have great peace because of his word. Let's stand together tonight.